You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Images of Haitian migrants being hit with whips and other forms of physical violence is completely unacceptable. This behavior must be addressed, and we must provide accountability. The images turn your stomach. It must be stopped, this kind of violence.
And Senator Chuck Schumer, leader, majority leader of the Senate, Democrat from New York, turns my stomach with that kind of remark because it's a lie. This is September 22nd, 2021. What we now have are the Democrats fawning over the Haitians that are coming across the border in massive numbers. We've shown you the pictures. You know about them from Del Rio, Texas, where at last report there were something like 20,000. Now supposedly it's down to maybe half that. But we're also told there are other caravans preparing to go to the same area. The video Schumer was referring to is being seized upon by the Democrats and state-controlled media as, my God, look at this racist. These are people on horses whipping people that are trying to come into our country. Let's clarify something quickly. Most Border Patrol agents are Mexican descent. I don't see how they could be racist. Oh, but the Haitians aren't Mexican. They're more black. Oh, okay. You want to look at that? All right. And they're not using any whips. They're not given whips. These are riders on horseback with reins to control the horse. And, yes, they have excessively long reins so they can slap it at people to get them away from the horses so they don't try to grab the horse's bridle. And in many cases, save someone from harm because the horses could knock them over and step on them. So they're trying to get them to keep their distance. But this is what we're into now. They're going to go crying out and doing this. And now another lie is exposed in the process. They always want to find some new sparkly thing that will take your attention away, such as this now. A rider on a horseback is supposed to be bigger than the Afghan disaster. And it's supposed to be bigger than the lie that they're trying to pull off. Remember, I told you yesterday, they claim that they're deporting Haitians back to their country. Turns out they're not really deporting a lot of them. They're releasing them into the interior of the U.S. There have been maybe 400 to 500 put on planes going back to Haiti. And when they get to Haiti, some of them won't get off or they try to get back onto the plane. They don't want to stay in Haiti. And in some cases where the Haitians are being gathered up by Border Patrol agents, put on buses, they start tussling, I'll use that phrase, tussling instead of fighting with Border Patrol. But either way, they're reluctant because they're afraid they might be sent back to Haiti. And then we also have Chuck Schumer saying, I'm encouraging President Biden and Mayorkas to put an end to these deportations. In other words, we're not going to start deporting or continue or even fake it. We're going to say put an end to it. What do you think is going to happen at the border again now? Everything these people do, they want to insist we are not violating laws. We're letting people in that need to be here. These people seeking asylum, they're not being tested for COVID. They're being spread across the nation. They're lying to us about what they're doing with it. And then you talk about another lie that's catching fire, and that's the Bob Woodward book praising General Mark Milley for calling China and warning him that he's keeping an eye on Trump. We're going to break down some of that interview. He appeared last night, I'm talking about Bob Woodward last night, on Stephen Colbert's CBS. So I want you to hear some of that because it's pretty weird. But on top of that, the thing they are ignoring is validation that the information released by the New York Post, which all the state-controlled media wanted to ignore, is correct about Hunter Biden and his laptop and the comments and things that appeared. That one, they're still ignoring. Look away, don't look here. And then in Philadelphia, they are fighting like hell to reestablish what they call safe houses, a crack house, which would allow addicts to go and get their fix in an area that would be called harm reduction homes. This is what we're doing now. We have a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The one courageous person who did something was General Milley. He said, there is a scene in the book which took our breaths away, I think, when Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, second in line for the presidency, calls General Milley, and we have a transcript of it, and says, "General Milley, you know Trump is crazy. He is a dangerously crazy. How are we going to control nuclear weapons?"
Wow. And there's no challenge, there's no pushback on such remarks. That is the Washington Post, Bob Woodward, talking about his new book titled Peril, along with his co-author, who always want to make sure the co-author gets his credit as well, or blame, because there's a thin line between credit and blame. I remind you all the time. But for credit slash blame would also be Robert Costa. And they were appearing last night on CBS Steve Colbert Show. And you heard Bob Woodward just flat out saying the only courageous one in the closing days of the Trump administration was Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, because he was doing something. And then you heard him talking about some of the conversation he had with Speaker Pelosi. We're going to break it down for you in more detail. But I want you to keep in mind something as we go through this. There's no pushback. There's no question. There's not a challenge because it's a late night talk show. Plus, on top of that, they're going to be really kind and nice because this is the kind of stuff that, again, imprints on the mind of all Americans, they hope. that Trump was deranged. So don't even think about the man coming back in 2024. And no one should be listening to him now. And if you voted for him then, well, we might be willing to forgive you because you just didn't know how unhinged, unstable Trump was, to the extent that the Joint Chiefs of Staff felt compelled to call China and say, don't worry, we're okay here, we're not going to attack you. Now, we have yet to hear directly from General Mark Milley other than a quick remark and an answer he gave Associated Press, reference what Bob Woodward's book is claiming. And he basically said, I was doing routine calls that are standard procedure, and beyond that, I have nothing to say until I appear before Congress. Because, yes, he's going to have to stand in front of Congress under oath and testify as to what he did or didn't do. If he just was calling the Chinese leader and saying his Chinese counterpart of the People's Liberation Army and saying, look, Trump is making some noise and so forth. This is before the election, keep in mind. There were two calls, one at least prior to the presidential election, October 30, 2020, and then another one 2 days after the January 6th riots. For a time, I kept hearing there were three, so based on what I'm seeing here now, just the two. But on the first call, just simply saying, everything's good, we're doing what we normally do in this country, you should not worry about anything going crazy here. But then after the January 6th, which they still want to call an insurrection that Trump led, which is a lie, it was wrong, it was not patriotic, it should not have happened, but it was not an insurrection, it was not an attempt to overthrow the government, and it was people, for the most part, really had no idea what they're doing. They're just kind of following the crowd. They didn't know what they were doing. They just kind of got caught up in it. And they were not sent there by Trump. Although they're continuing to push that lie as well. We'll come back to that in a moment. I mean, this thing has so many tentacles. I'm sorry. I can't cut them all off at one time. I've got it. It's like eating an elephant. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, and that's what I'm trying to do here. But as I really want to put a tap on this one point, if General Milley under Congress says I did nothing out of line under testimony saying I called them, yes, I did. But the key line that Bob Woodward put in his book is that General Milley at one point told him, if we decide to launch a missile, if Trump orders one, I will call and give you advance warning. That's the damning statement. That's the treasonous statement. That's what we need to get an answer to. But in the meantime, let's go back as Bob Woodward and his co-author, Robert Costa, appeared on CBS Colbert promoting the book. And he's again picking up again. We want to kind of reset the stage for you about a call that General Milley was having with Pelosi and saying that General Milley was really being courageous. Here we go.
General Milley, you know Trump is crazy. He is dangerously crazy. How are we going to control nuclear weapons? And Milley says, oh, don't worry, we have procedures and so forth. And she is pounding on him real hard. And it's a classic Washington moment. Phone call and to have a transcript so you see not the BS but what they're really saying to each other. And then after the call, Milley thinks, you know, she's right. We better worry about Trump.
So there you have Pelosi, according to Bob Woodward, pounding on Milley. We have to be concerned. Trump is deranged. He might launch a missile. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he is trying to reassure and say, everything's good. We have our procedures. There's nothing to worry about. So despite this urgent phone call from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, expressing her concerns that Trump was going to start a nuclear war so he could stay in command, and she's insisting you have to do something. You got to do something. Well, Woodward picks up the story and saying, after they hung up with Pelosi, Milley apparently had a reconsideration of at least the verbiage he used with Pelosi and thought, maybe some kind of action is warranted.
And then after the call, Milley thinks, you know, she's right. We better worry about Trump. And so he calls in the colonels and one-star generals and admirals who into his office from the war room in the Pentagon.
People in the nuclear chain of command.
Yes, and not just nuclear, but any military action. And he says, all right, we have these procedures. Don't take a call from the president without me being involved. Do you understand that? And he goes around the room. Got it? Yes, sir. Got it? Got it? Got it? Yes, sir. And now he's not seizing power. He's putting in precautions to make sure if Trump's going to blow up the world or do something that's against American interest or, in fact, against Trump's interest, he's going to at least be there at the table saying, no.
No, we're not going to fire the missile. You know, you reach a point with a book like this. And there are some books I'm sure you have read, and they are kind of loosely based upon facts. And they acknowledge that. Movies, you know, based upon a real event. But it's not really factual. There's a lot of poetic license where the author or the movie director decides to kind of redo a scene, kind of, you know, this would be better if it just went a little bit more this direction. And if you're making a movie or you're writing a fictitious book that you say is based on a real event because you're not following the actual details of the event, well, that's acceptable. You just have to label it what it is. Fiction. Fiction. And if even part of it is not based upon fact, but your conjecture and your approach and your personal bias, you can't label it as fact-based book. You have to add almost, oh, well, you should, let me put it this way, add line saying some conversations might be recreated. Some thoughts might be the author's interpretation. So here we have Woodward saying of Milley, he's not seizing power. I have to question that right away. What do you mean he's not seizing power? He is calling the other generals and saying, if you get a call from Trump, you don't do anything until you hear from me. Got it? Got it. Got it? Got it. Got it? Got it. Yes, sir. In that one instance, if it went down just like that, for Woodward to say he's not seizing power, he damn sure did. It's very evident. Every general under him just admitted the chain of command starts and begins with General Milley, not the president. The President of the United States. There will be those out there that would just eat all this up. And as I told you, in one way, you might keep in mind, I'm sure you've seen some movie promos that look, man, that looks like a great movie. I got to go. That's great. And you get there and you see, hell, everything's in the promo, the preview, that was the best stuff. The rest of the movie is boring and just not that good. Could have just sat home and watched the preview over and over again and been happier. But again, this is going to get more traction from the state-controlled media. It's already happening. At MSNBC, with Joe Scarborough, you got their analyst, Mike Barnicle, and he tries to make a comparison of this as to the instability when Nixon was in office. He says, you know, there are things like this that were happening behind the scenes when Nixon was in office. Because, you know, they had to worry, would he try to do the same thing? That's what Barnack was telling in his reference to the Woodward book and General Milley. But then again, if you take one piece of fact and you embellish it and you blow it up, kind of like one little seed of popcorn, and suddenly, poof, it's pretty big. Mike Barnacle does the same thing on MSNBC.
Today, given the divisions in this country, this is going to play out on Twitter. This is going to be completely polarized. Either there's going to be, you know, General Milley is a traitor or General Milley is a patriot. That's already started to occur. And let's stick to the facts. And the facts are we had an unbalanced presidency for most of 4 years, but especially unbalanced in the last 2 months. And we're still living that unbalance out every day.
Every day. We're still living with the Trump fear, legend, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. On one hand, I'm glad they are living with Trump every day. He's got space in their mind reserved for a long time. Did Trump do a lot of things wrong? Yes. And I've called him out on numerous times. But this is, again, just an opportunity to dismantle any conservative effort for 2022 and certainly for 2024. Now, there's someone else who wants to weigh in on the Bob Woodward book. You know him, Carl Bernstein. Together, they did the Watergate story, right? So what does Bernstein think about the Woodward book? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick and mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's what I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, first of all, that this book gives a picture of a deranged demagogue and the threat to democracy, as well as a threat to the stability of the world, such as we have never seen in our era. And so the rabid nature of Trump's character, combined with his power and willingness to do anything to stay in office, including to destabilize the world through saying, I have to be the president of the United States.
Wow. If you were expecting Carl Bernstein to criticize Bob Woodward in the book, what are you drinking this time of day? Come on. But, I mean, he doesn't just go ahead and endorse. He said, man, this shows exactly how unstable this is. You have to accept the fact that this book, and he basically says, accept it as fact, that the president of the United States at that time was a deranged man, incapable of making decisions. Whoa, 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 alarm, 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 dive, dive, dive. There's another president that comes to mind that's in the Oval Office right now. Not saying deranged, possibly demented, possibly victim of Alzheimer's. And I have some big questions about his capability to lead this nation. And I think a lot of Democrats do as well. But they're going to kind of sit quietly because let's don't distract from the best thing we got going right now, and that is Bob Woodward's book talking about how Trump could have launched a missile if they didn't do something to put a stop to it right away. And that takes away any kind of concerns and issues about Afghanistan and that thing that's happening down on the border We're going to spend a lot more time on that the next hour, by the way. But yeah, there are a lot of questions still about Biden. That's something else they want to distract from. Anything they can do to say, look over here, not there. And in fact, another incident happened yesterday. I'll come back to that in a moment. But when we've got CNN political analyst Carl Bernstein weighing in on talking about how this Woodward book gives us a picture of a deranged demagogue and a threat to democracy and a threat to the stability of the world. And he says all of this, he said, just because he wanted to remain president of the United States.
Throwing real fear into both our allies and our enemies that the country itself was out of control under Trump as he entered the final days of his office. And we've never seen such a destabilizing moment in our history in this country, led by a president of the United States, a madman.
A madman. And, of course, right now, the president we have in the United States right now, that his staff won't let him talk or take questions. Even when he has a guest sitting beside him from another country, and he says, well, I'll take some questions, and he takes a few, and then they want to ask President Biden about the border or anything they want. No, it's over. Goodbye. All right, let's take a break from this subject. Let's go into something else. Do you know what the Iron Dome is? Do you know how vital it is to the protection of Israel and those living there? And that's not just Jews. A lot of Palestinians are protected as well. Are you aware of what the Democrats are trying to do? And before we wrap up, for those of you who say if you are an anti-vaxxer, there's something wrong with you, well, you better back up, because now there's a claim that the vaccine might be a racist tool. So now which side are you going to go on? See, if you're just going to be making your decisions based on which way the wind is blowing, good luck with that. We'll be right back, and let's look at the Iron Dome.
Hear podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Israel, you'll hear about from time to time, they have to activate their Iron Dome defense. This was devised as a way to stop incoming missiles, which really had, in some cases, no idea where they're going to fall. No one really cared. They just wanted to fire them into Israel. They didn't have any targets other than anything and anyone inside Israel. Back in May, more than 3,000 rockets fired towards Israel by Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups. 90% of them, 90% intercepted by the Iron Dome defense system. It was designed specifically to protect against a range of incoming short-range threats, because they're just over their border that they're firing some of these rockets. So you got to be able to activate quickly. Basically works that the enemy rocket is fired, a radar system quickly picks up on the rocket, starts tracking it. Control system estimates impact point above a target. Launcher fires a missile to intercept and knocks it, blows it apart, explodes it before it can hit an actual target. Now, of course, you have fallout. You have things of that nature. Some folks are hurt and are. There's damage because of that. But that's far less than what the intent was when it was fired. It became operational back in 2011. All-weather system. Are you aware of what the House Democrats are doing about it? The House Democrats. Let me just read the statement from Senator Tom Cotton. It really sums it up just perfectly. On the same day that President Biden pledged to stand with our allies at the United Nations, as in yesterday, members of his own party wanted to deny Israel the equipment to defend citizens from terrorist missiles. The effort to take money for the Iron Dome, which we send to Israel to help out with that, was spearheaded by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib is an open Muslim and has been anti-Semitic numerous times. And then Democrats were still planning to bring the legislation to the House floor later yesterday. And Tom Cotton said, this plan to cut a roughly $1 billion in funding for Israel's Iron Dome is basically they're using it as negotiation tactic, trying to force others to go along with some of their grab bag that they call infrastructure bill. Some Democrats, including Congressman Gottheimer of New Jersey, did not like the idea of taking money from the Iron Dome funding. As he wrote, the Iron Dome protects innocent civilians in Israel from terrorist attacks, and some of my colleagues have now blocked funding it. We must stand by our historic ally. The Senate Republicans already said they're going to vote against any legislation that's going to take that money out from the Iron Dome. That's good. But that doesn't mean the fight's over. But I'm watching some of the reaction coming out of Israel. The Times of Israel writing, and you got to love their direct, candid statement in this op-ed written by David Horowitz. The immorality of Democrat progressives targeting Iron Dome. He said, those U.S. legislators doing their utmost to deprive Israel of its first line of missile defense are opposing our civilians' right to a shield against murderous terrorism. And he's got it right. He goes on to say, were it not for the Dome missile defense system, the Gaza-ruling Hamas terrorist group would have been able to reduce Israel's residential areas to rubble in recent years. It would also have condemned Israel to international isolation. A single rocket from Gaza that evaded Iron Dome and fell near Ben Gurion Airport in 2014 prompted most foreign airlines to suspend their flights to Israel. And he refers back into what was happening in May. I told you about a moment ago about how many rockets that were being fired in, but they got knocked out, 90%+, according to the Israeli defense. He said, and Hamas is always trying to find a way to outwit the Iron Dome. And he adds this. The U.S. has been a core, consistent partner in the development and funding of the Iron Dome. This is an immensely expensive enterprise. Each of the dozen or so Iron Dome batteries reportedly deployed by Israel cost up to $50 million. Each interceptor rocket, $20,000 to $100,000. The Gaza rockets they stop, by contrast, ranging costs from a few hundred dollars to the low thousands. They don't have any direction system on them. They just line them up and fire them and hope they go anywhere into Israel. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they fall back. Sometimes they fall into a community where Hamas is operating, and, of course, then they blame it on Israel. And he adds this. He said, the U.S. has been a core consistent partner, as I said. But then on Tuesday, with their political power magnified A small group of progressive Democrat legislators held their party hostage and secured the removal of a clause that would have given $1 billion supplementary funding for the Iron Dome. And he's right. They're holding our budget and everything else hostage at this point. Now, that piece, again, coming from the Times of Israel by one of their opinion writers. I'm looking at the Jerusalem Post and a piece that was written by Laha Harkov, I believe. And it begins, recent events should concern Israel, a trouble with the squad, even as statements by Israeli officials try to minimize the problems. They're trying to point out that the squad, AOC, and the rest of them, most of them, have made anti-Semitic remarks on a continuous basis. They have no problem if Israel disappears from the map. I got an email yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to get to it until late, from one of our listeners. Diane was saying, I don't know if you saw this story about that there's a plan to have women in the U.S. have to sign up for selective service just as men do. When you're 17, you have to sign up. Yes, you still do. And she had some concerns about it. Now, I raised two daughters, and I was certainly thankful that they were not going to be going off to war, but I also have another side that I wanted to share with her, and I put several things. Here's my response. Yes, I did see the women draft registration proposal, and there are several things in play. First, for all the cry for equality, this delivers. You want equal rights? You got it. Secondly, males still have to register, but the last man drafted was in 1973. So currently, the oldest on the draft list would be at least 48. And third, Israel has conscripted women. All of them must register at age 17 since the late 1940s. Less than 10% are in actual combat roles from what I was able to find. Mostly support operations. There have been less than 1,000 direct combat deaths involving women serving in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. And I added, I've met several women in the IDF, and all are qualified in their position, and they are proud of their service. And then I pointed out, I raised two daughters. Obviously, I did not want them in a combat theater. Still, if conscription included women when they were younger, I would support it. I would support women also have to register. Of course, to military service, another option is that females and conscientious objectors have to give at least 2 years to other government services. That was the purpose of the Peace Corps originally. Today's concern, of course, the JFK original concept of the Peace Corps would be leftist indoctrination. So I had, in short, I'm in favor of every American spending at least 2 years of their life serving our nation, not serving politics, not serving politicians, serving our nation. I added the IDF approach was and is perfect for Israel, especially in their part of the world, and could be a good model for the U.S. and would reinforce patriotism. I strongly believe it would. Now, I'm not saying let's start the draft again. The proposal is to have that women, when they turn 17, have to register with Selective Service. The Israeli Defense Forces, put in place May 1948 by David Ben-Gurion, a conscript army of men and women. And women in the beginning did have a more active role. Something like 550 female Israeli soldiers were killed in combat between 62 and 2016. That doesn't include other deaths. So, yeah, I think it's important that American boys and girls realize there might be a price to pay for this country. You're not going to just have everything given to you. And you should appreciate and stand and respect the flag. I've got a story on that I want to share when we continue. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, Fish? Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the other day, I was rushing out. I have two grandsons that are playing football. They're on the same team. They're sophomores, so they're on the JV team. Occasionally, they all always suit up with the varsity, and occasionally one of them gets to play with the varsity. The other one can't do much right now because he's got a hand injury, but still ready. So I'm rushing in the game, and I get to the field, and I'm kind of trying to make my way across the field, and I realize everybody has stopped, and they're looking at something. I think, uh-oh, what's going on here? And then I hear the music. Everybody was already standing, waiting for the national anthem to start. I missed that part of the announcement as I was rushing out. So obviously, and I'm glad to say everyone I saw on the field, every player, every person in the stand stood and faced the flag. Men taking off their hats, holding it over their hearts. It just felt great. Really felt great. Because of so much division inside this nation right now. Because of the flag and this country and everything. Things that, yes, there are sins this nation has committed. Because it's made up of men. And there was only one perfect man to ever walk the face of the earth. And we'll continue to have sin until he returns. But it's just good to see and honor our flag at a high school football game. This is both of them private schools, by the way, I want to point out. They may or may not have liberal parents. I don't care. I just like the fact that everyone was standing at that moment recognizing and appreciating it. Now, you know, of course, if you have been indicating I'm a little hesitant about vaccine. You know, Nicki Minaj, the rapper, was saying, you can't even ask a question without the cancel culture mob attacking you. Yep, you're right. That's what we've gotten into, isn't it? And we've had a lot of nurses, nursing staffs, and nursing unions say we're not going to demand our people have to get the vaccine. And they have their concerns for whatever reason. But, of course, if you were against the vaccine in any way, you're an idiot. What are they going to say about BLM? BLM is now threatening an uprising against any vaccine mandates. That's right. They're taking the position at a protest. One of the co-founders said of the vaccine mandates, what is going to stop the Gestapo? I mean, the NYPD from rounding up black people, from snatching them off the train, off the bus. He was talking about the fact that in New York City, if you're going to go into a restaurant and dine in the New York, I've told you previously it's going to happen like this, and sure enough it is. New York City mayor had put in a rule that if you're going to dine in a restaurant in New York City, you have to have proof that you've been vaccinated. You have to show your vaccine documentation, and you have to have a picture ID to show that it's you listed on that vaccine information. And so Hawk Newsom, one of the co-founder and chairman of the Black Lives Matter Greater New York, saying, quote, restaurants are using, and I'm quoting, using vaccine mandates to enforce their racist beliefs and excluding black patrons. Did I not tell you that's what's going to come down to that? That it would appear to be racist, back to Jim Crow days. Because at last check, something like 70% of black Americans living in New York City, ages 18 to 44, somewhere in that range, maybe a little higher, 70% did not have a vaccination. We're not going to get one. Or maybe they weren't at that point. And I told you then that this amounts almost to Jim Crow days. You're going to keep black people at the restaurant. They're not going to get the vaccine. Oh, good. Then they won't be in our restaurant. I told you it was going to happen. And now they're making the issue of it. Good for them. BLM, I'm going to applaud this one, this effort. But they are claiming that the Gestapo, the NYPD, will be carrying out this racist thing that's been put in place by their mayor, who is married to a black woman. But it's still racist. And they put notice, the threat, the BLM is putting this city on notice. Here it is. Your mandate will not be another racist social distance practice. Black people are not going to stand by, or you will see another uprising. And the co-founder adding, vaccine verification. Are you ready for this one? Vaccine verification, quote, is not a free passport to racism. So what's going to happen now? And, of course, we had this incident the other day, three black women from Texas at a restaurant, Carmine's, charged with assaulting a hostess because she said, I need to see your vaccination. And they went ballistic on her, claiming it discriminatory. Poor girls just simply following the orders she'd been given by her boss. Coming up in the next hour, how the government continues to lie to us about exporting illegals. You're not going to like it. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.